Morning. I don't want to disappoint anybody, but we're not going to be giving a sophisticated analysis of all 750 sections of the Companies Act this morning. What we are going to be discussing is the effect that incorporation, that the fact that people who have come together and have formed a company by becoming members of a company, what effect that has on the shareholders, how we consider them in halakha. Are they considered partners who have come together to do business from the halakhic point of view, or do we consider them as creditors as such who have invested into this corporate being? And not only on the shareholders themselves, but somebody who wants to deal with the company. So does the person dealing with the company view the company as people made up of the shareholders? So then if there would be yidin part who are amongst shareholders, there might be certain ramifications, as we'll see. Or, we view it as a separate entity, and you're dealing with that entity, a freestanding entity, and not with individual shareholders. Before we begin, I'd like to just go through what are the potential problems if we would consider it a partnership, and where the problems of partnership could arise. Okay, chametz is the obvious one. If we were to consider shareholdings as partners, then obviously anybody who has shares in a company that trades in chametz or owns chametz would obviously be over bali or bali motze. He would have a share. As long as the share is a shavu putra, he would be over bali or bali motze. It wouldn't only be a problem for a person owning shares in the company, it would also be a problem for people buying the chametz after Pesach from the company, because if the Jewish shareholders were considered owners of the assets of the company, so we've got here chametz shavu lechol Pesach. And chametz is one of the subjects we've discussed at length by the poskim. One of another problem is ribbis. And ribbis, in fact, is I think the earliest challenge came up. The Kiddush Shulchan Aruch already talks about whether there's a problem of borrowing or lending money to a company which has Jewish shareholders. He's talking about actually a bank, depositing in a bank and getting interest, where there are Jewish borrowers. In his days, it would appear that the investors, the depositors, had what is it, investors. So again, if the shareholders of a company, a bank, for example, which borrows money, lends money, is considered the sum of its shareholders as individuals. So again, we would have yidin who are party to the lending and borrowing. So again, you wouldn't be able to pay interest or take interest from these companies. Shabbos is another problem. You can't have shittus with a goy unless there are certain conditions. Besides shvitas behemtoi, a company which would have has animals which do work for you on Shabbos. Again, that'd be another problem. Machalos asuros, you're not allowed to trade in machalos asuros. There's an issue to trade in things which are also to eat. And again, yisurei hamna. So I think, again, if the shells are considered partners, then again, they'd be unwittingly being trading in yisurei hamna on a regular basis or machalos asuros. And I heard recently another thing that might be a problem, tefillas kelim. If you buy a keli from a company which has manufactured this keli, so in effect, if the shareholders are not considered partners, if it's considered a company, then here we have the reverse. So here we have that you haven't bought actually a keli from a god. So then you might not be chayav the tefillah. I heard that Rav Scheinberg actually passed the halakha l'maaseh. One shouldn't make a bracha on tefillas kelim on a song you buy from a company. So you'd have to see, was it a limited company or was it a partnership that who manufactured it? So before we get into the halachic discussion as to how halacha always views a company or does view a company, I'd just like to speak out the three main characteristics of a company, how they differ from a partnership, and we'll see how the poskim have dealt with each one of these characteristics and how they viewed them, and whether these characteristics do impact on considering the ownership of a share as a partner or as an investor or a creditor, which wouldn't be considered a partner. So the The first one is legal personality. As you know, that in English law, in most jurisdictions today, we recognize the formation of a company, that a company has its own legal personality, and that is distinct from the shareholders, distinct from its members, meaning that the company acts on its own behalf. It borrows money on its own behalf, it lends on its own behalf, it acquires assets on its own behalf. Everything it does for itself, not on behalf of its shareholders, but for itself. And the shareholders have an interest in the company, but the actual company is run by the directors on behalf of the company itself. That's the first aspect. The second aspect is limited liability, which initially limited liability was derived from the fact of legal personality, that since the company is a legal personality in its own right, therefore the creditors didn't have a claim against the shareholders, because the shareholders were distinct from the company. In fact, today, I don't think it's necessarily, I think you can have limited liability without legal personality, but and limited liability on its own, also the POSCIM see as something that might allow us to consider a shareholder not as a partner, but as a creditor. And finally, there's another important distinction, there's a separation of ownership and control. In a company, the owners of the company are the shareholders. However, the control of the company are the directors. And the directors do what they want to do. They run the company as they wish. And it's true that the shareholders can influence the board. Obviously, at the AGM, they can vote them in, vote them out. They can pass resolutions. But the actual running of the company is not run by the shareholders. And they have absolutely no control over the assets. They can't walk in and take anything from the company. Can't borrow against assets of the company. So again, this is the third aspect where we have a distinction between company and partnership. Again, it's the legal personality, the limited liability, and the separation of ownership and control. Now, so let's move on now to how the POSCIM dealt with it. One of the first POSCIM to deal at length with this shaila is the Ma'ariv HaLevi, Rabbi Yitzchak Itzinger. He wrote tshuvas called Tshuva Re'al Levi. He has actually two tshuvas. One is about ribbis, and the other one is about chometz. So we'll discuss the one he has about chometz. He talks about a case. There was a town, and the town was owned by an investment bank. And there were Jews who had shares in this bank. Now, the town is a town in Germany, and in the town there's a plant which processes beer. So the shoyl to Maria Levy asked him, what do we do? Are we allowed to own shares of a Pesach in this company? So Rav Ettinger, he ruled leniently. He was makel, and he paskened that there was no problem, that the shareholders didn't have to sell their shares. And he brings down a number of reasons in the tshuva. Now, there are two problems, obviously, with the comments. There's a problem of comments over the Pesach, and there's a problem of only comments on Pesach. Comments over the Pesach is a javonah, and by the Rabbani Motz, they only comments on Pesach, it's a deraisa. Now, some of his svaras to be makel only work for Jabonos. The Tzirufim, they don't work to be Matir Nesu Deraisa. But to be Matir, the actual owning the shares of the Pesach, so his main argument is as follows. He says, as the shareholders have no right to sell or destroy the Chometz, they haven't transgressed Issur possession of Chometz. Here, he's coming from the point of view of control. He says, since the shareholders have no control over the company, therefore you're not chayiv for being Mavari the Chometz. You weren't able to do it, and definitely not chayiv for it. If he carries on, he says, but I still have a problem, because I've got the Chometz of the Yid, and it's in, if the Yid is a partner in the company, and it's in the property of the Yid. So, if the price of the Chometz goes down, impacts on the Jewish share, so essentially it's Chometz that the Yid didn't come like Chayis on, but they say, shall Yisrael. Therefore, it should be over the Rabbani Motzi. So, says Mari Ettinger, no. He says, since both the Chometz and the property where the Chometz is stored is not owned by Yid, there's no halachic problem. That's what he says. So, it's clear from the Tshuva that he understands that once you have no control, we cannot view you as being the owner of the Chometz. In fact, Rav Moshe Feinstein in the Tshuva also, he also adopts the control approach. But he says the following. The Moshe says that where the shareholder is a minority shareholder, and most of the shares are owned by the company, he says 70% are generally owned by the company, therefore we don't view the shareholder b'chlal as a partner. He's just merely a creditor who's invested money with them, and they're going to pay him back. They'll give him according to how well the company's done. But essentially, he's only a creditor. He's not a partner. However, Reb Moshe, if you look in the tshuva, the information given to Reb Moshe is as follows: that in most companies, the company retains a majority of the shares, and the rights of the shareholders to influence the workings of the company are too many to be older. It's a joke. Now, I think in today's commercial environment, we know that most public companies, there's very, very few companies where you have somebody holding the majority of the shares. And further, we're all aware of the corporate raider, where you have somebody with a very small amount of shares, or proportionally anyway, and he can come in and gain control of the whole company. So it's not necessarily true to say today that somebody who has very few shares can't influence, or at least a proportion, somebody that's 10%, can influence what's going on in the company. So the question is whether Moshe's tshuva is relevant to all situations. But Kopalim, the Maria Levy took on that where the individual shareholder has no control, as he generally doesn't, therefore he's not considered an owner. Now, this psak of the Maria Levy was followed by Dr. T. Hoffman in Melamed Lahoil. He also passes like that. And Rav Padre writes in Cheshev Eifoy that he had the shayla, and he went to the Tshuvina Rav, and Tshuvina Rav referred him to this tshuva of Maria Levy. So therefore, Rav Padre says that he understands that Tshuvina Rav obviously held of this psak, and therefore Rav Padre is actually mekel, and Rav Padre holds halacha v'maisa, one need not sell chometz on Pesach. One need not sell shares in companies which trade in chometz on Pesach. Based on this svara of Maria Levy, which is that since you have no control, therefore you're not considered the owners of the shares. However, there are persons who disagree with this. There was a very chashev person who was known as Rishol Weingart. He was a magichi in Montreux, he was a minister very young, and he writes a long tshuva about this subject. And he contends that the Maria Levy svara, that to ignore the ownership of shareholders, is ludicrous. His basis is that if the shareholders are not the owners, then who are the owners? Now, it happens to be that we're talking about control. We're not yet coming on to corporate identity. The Maria Levy, his tshuva was written before the famous case of Salomon v. Salomon, where corporate identity was established. Yeah, he was working purely from the point of view of control, not from the point of view of corporate identity. So if you're just working on the point of view of control, then Shaul Weingart says it doesn't make sense. Who does own the chometz? It's not the shareholders. And the Mishnah Yitzchak also agrees to this, and he says it doesn't make sense to say that there are no owners. And therefore they say that to ignore ownership is ludicrous, and the shareholders are bound to be, they must be considered the owners. There's nobody else. However, Rav Weingart himself, so he, interestingly enough, he develops on his own accord the idea of corporate identity. He says, okay, that the Maria Levy was discussing purely the aspect of control. He says, but we know today, apart from the lack of control on part of the shareholders, there's also the musuk of limited liability. He says that limited liability shows us that the actual company is not the persons of the shareholders themselves. It shows us that it's something, a freestanding entity in its own right. And then he says, and it happens to be that this idea is also recognized by law, that it is a mussar of a corporate identity. So he wants to suggest that we've solved the problem, Maria Levy. Maria Levy had a problem, who are the owners, and how can you have a situation where there are no owners of the chometz, and therefore must be the shareholders. So you have an eitzah. The corporate being, this company, it is the owner of the chometz. And therefore he says, based on that again, there's no problem of holding shares in companies that trade in chometz and Pesach. However, Dain Weiss in Mitzvah Chel Gimel Tshuva Aleph, he says he can't agree with this either. He says according to the logic of Rav Weingart, he says, what are you going to tell me? That every time you incorporate, that the shell does not consider their own. Fine, he says. So I can have a situation where every person, they just have to register their credit card as a company, on a company name, and all the cars that they buy for their family, they'll buy on this credit card, and now everything is held by the company. So therefore, you can hold comments on Pesach. He said he had a ridiculous result, which is obviously impossible. So, Service Steinbeis, that corporate identity on its own is not a solution, can't be a solution. So he says, control on its own, we've seen, is not a solution. Corporate identity on its own is also not a solution. But he wants to suggest that perhaps when you have a combination of both, where there is a lack of control on the part of the shareholders, they actually can't run the company, they're being run by the directors, plus there is this corporate identity, this corporate being, which somehow or other is controlling what's going on, they're ready. We won't view the shareholders as partners, we'll view them as creditors. So he says he doesn't have a rhyme enough svara, yes or not, which we did earlier regarding corporate identity or limited liability on and all control on their own. However, the advice is not being arrived from the Gemara. He said that we find a similar concept of corporate identity in the Gemara. So that the Yishalmi in the first week of Sokhum has a following question. Do you have to do B'dikas Chometz in the Bati Midrashim and Bati Kinesios? And the Yishalmi explains that people eat there on Shabbos and Yom Tov, they used to have guests, so people used to bring Chometz in. So now there might be Chometz there. So therefore it should be a chiv to do B'dikas Chometz. And the Yishalmi concludes, that you're mechuyev to do B'dikas Chometz in a Beit HaKnesset. Now, who owns the Beit HaKnesset? The Tzibur. Further, the mitzvah brings derived from a Mishnah Megillah. The Mishnah Megillah says in Dr. Zayin Obeis that the Machlek is Tanoim as to whether you're allowed to sell a Beit HaKnesset. Reb Meir holds you're only allowed to sell a Beit HaKnesset al Tanai. Al Tanai, that if the people who sell the Beit HaKnesset want to buy it back, they're entitled to buy it back. So why ask Amayi Dikakashi? Why ask? This is Ribbis. A possibility. It's not Echol Ribbis. Why? We sold Beit HaKnesset today for £500,000, and then 10 years down the line, I buy it back. We say we want to buy it back for £500,000. So what's happened is really, is that over the past 10 years, we've had use of this Beit HaKnesset for nothing, and essentially the £500,000 has been a loan over 10 years. So it's not Echol Ribbis. There's a possibility of Ribbis over here. So how could you do that? The Gemara deals with that exactly why. It's not a But upon him, that much we do see, that a Beit HaKnesset is liable, it's prohibited from borrowing or lending money by Ribbis. Again, who is the Beit HaKnesset? The Beit HaKnesset is the Tzibur. So, says the Minchas Yitzchak, we have to understand what exactly is a Tzibur. One could consider the Tzibur as the sum of the individuals. It's just made up of a group of individuals, and the individuals together come together. So then we can understand why there should be a problem of ribbis, why there should be a problem of chometz. On the other hand, one could consider a tzibur as the group of individuals morphing into a new being, a corporate being, similar to the idea of a company, where the shareholders who have invested, they form a company through the members of the company. They form this company, again a corporate being. And this is very similar to what possibly tzibur might be. So the question is, what is actually the tzibur? So the Tzibur Sameach brings a raya as to what the tzibur is. The Machlokes Tanoim in the Mishnah Shkolim as to whether a kohen is mutter, is permitted for a kohen to give a matzah shekel. Machlokes whether a kohen should give a matzah shekel or shouldn't give a matzah shekel. And what's the Machlokes? So in the Mishnah, The Mishnah explains Machlokes as follows. There's a halacha that Minchas Kohen is kule kolam. A Minchas Kohen has to be completely burnt. A Minchas of Yisrael is eaten, but a Minchas of a Kohen is burnt. So now, so the Mishnah explains that if the Kohen is going to be shekel, he's going to give back his shekel, he's going to have a chelek in the menachas which belong to the tzibur. The lechem aponim, the shtei alechem. Now these menachas are eaten. So says the Mishnah, how can it be eaten? There's a, in amongst this Lechem HaPalim, there's also a part which came from the Kohen, and that part is not allowed to be eaten. And the Gemara there says, it's not a question. There's a difference between a Yochid and a difference between a Tzibur. Says the Rabbi Shalom, what's trapped in the Gemara? Says a Tzibur is not the sum of all the Yechidim. The Yechidim come together, they morph into a new being. A Tzibur is not a group of Yechidim. So that's one raya that Mr. Sisson brings down, that Tzibur is a new concept. It's not just a group of individuals coming together. And then he brings another raya from a Mishnah. Another Mishnah, it's a Mishnah in the Dorim. The Machlekes between Rebbe Elazar ben Yaakov and the Chachamim. You have a situation where you have two people living together and they have shared use of a chotzer. There's a common part, so you have shared use of this common part. And one of them usses on the other one, Bahanoi, he makes a nether, and he usses the other one to be nele from his chelik. So the Machlekes Tanoim as to whether each one is allowed to, or the one who's been Nesra upon him, is allowed to use his chelik in the chotzer. So the Gemara explains that the question is the question of Brera. If you hold Yesh Brera, then we can consider that the part that you're using belongs to you, and not to the person, not the chelik, to the guy who uttered his nechotim on you, and therefore you have no problem going and using it. And therefore, Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov holds it's mutter. He holds Yesh Brera, and therefore it's mutter for a person to use the common parts. Now, there's a Gemara later. The Gemara brings down, there's a Mishnah later, sorry. And the Mishnah later talks about a case where somebody, again, uttered his nechotim on somebody else. And there, the Mishnah says that in a case where somebody did that, the person who's Nesa, the person who's been forbidden to use, to have Anor, he's not allowed to benefit from the Nikse of the people of the ear. So the question is, the Rambam says that this Mishnah, which says that you're not allowed to use the chelik of the people of the ear, that doesn't fit with the Rebbe ben Yaakov, because we know the Rebbe ben Yaakov holds a brayer. So we can say the bit that I'm using is not yours, it's mine. So similarly, let us say in the chelik of which belongs in the municipal parts, again, I'm using my part and not his part. Says the Rambam that the Rebbe ben Yaakov doesn't fit with that Mishnah. However, the problem is that the Rambam paskins like Rebbe ben Yaakov. The Rambam also paskins like that Mishnah, and he says you're allowed to use the common parts of the chotzer. You're not allowed to use the municipal areas. So how does that go together? Why do we say Brera? Says Mikos Yitzchak. In fact, he says this b'shem Gon Echod. I think it's Rav Amiel, which is brought down in the Tshuva of Rav Angot. So he says Marid Kazak. He says that what shad Brera? When can you have Brera? Brera is if I have a number of individual undetermined parts, right? So I don't know if it's mine, if it's yours. Then Brera can determine that it's my part, it's not your part. He says that's all very well when you're shutfim. But he says when you're at Tzibur, there are no individual parts. It's all one. It's morphed into one being, into one corporate being. And therefore it's not Shad Brera. And therefore, when I'm using it, I'm using something which I cannot say is mine. And therefore it's also. So after upon him, so the message was, we see from these two rayas that there is this principle, the concept of tzibur, of a corporate identity, in halacha as well. Nevertheless, so let's go back. We saw that in Yerushalmi, that is chiyuv dikas chometz, which pashtus means that it's a bali or bali matzeh. Though one could learn differently, he is matzeh raya, but after upon him, that's one that he suggests that there is raya from there. And further, in the case of Ribbis, in the case of the Beit HaKnesses, there, the Kohen is definitely a raya. There we see that a shul is not allowed to lend for Ribbis, despite the fact that we've proven that a tzibur is a corporate being on its own right. So he says in Mitzvah Yitzchok, what's the difference between a tzibur and a company? He says, and if anything, tzibur, you have less control. He says, in a company, you have shareholder rights. Right? In fact, there's fiduciary duty on the directors to act in the best interest of the shareholders. They can get rid of the directors, they can on winding up, they get their entitled to the assets. So in Tzibur, you don't have any of these things. Nevertheless, Tzibur, because it's made up somehow of the Yechidim, even though we see a corporate identity, nevertheless, there's an Issa Chometz and there's an Issa of lending derivatives. Therefore, the Mitzvah Sitter says, even though you could be Matka the Raiz, yeah, he has the Chuyim for the Raiz, which we haven't got time to go into now, but he's not prepared to say that the company can protect a Jew from owning Chometz on Pesach. A company can protect you, and therefore there's shareholders on Chuyim to sell their shares on Pesach. He does have one leniency, which is, he says, if you have a share, which a preference share, which basically is a share that doesn't carry any voting rights, so there he says that there already you have zero control at all, that he is prepared to concede to the Marie Ittinger. And somebody told me that, in fact, today, in accounting principle, it's considered, today, loan is not considered. Yeah, so Mr. Gitter actually preceded the accountant on that one. Anyway, I call upon him. Mr. Gitter says that he's Machmir and one has to sell shares on Pesach. However, he actually is Maker Legabar Chomosh Ono Shravanova Pesach. He says that there is a more reasonable lenient because there already is the question of a Drabonon, right, to buy the Chomets from, let's say, a company that had your shareholders. And there as well, once it's Drabonon, one could apply the principle of Brera, yes, Brera by Drabonon. And therefore, there's more mocking to be lenient. However, he says he's now come up with a problem. So, okay, if you have to sell your shares on Pesach, how do you do that? Because, as we know, until you've been registered on the register of members, the guy's going to be the owner of the shares. So pay stamp duty. So what are we going to do? So the Mishnah refers us to a machlekes, in the 19th century between the Baruch Tam and the Chasam Sofer. In those days, they also had stamp duty. And I think the stamp duty are more complex than we have today. And it seems that on a chometz transaction, on the sale of chometz, they had to pay what was known as the shtempel. They had to pay stamp duty. So the Baruch Tam was concerned that the mechira chometz wasn't valid because nobody paid shtempel on the mechira. So the Chasam Sofer said, I mean, you have to know the law, but Chasam Sofer said that in fact a mechira without a shtempel is a valid mechira, and it's just that you haven't paid the stamp, but it doesn't mean to say that person doesn't own it. In fact, the Mishnah doesn't address this, but I mean, I've spoken to people, and I think that that once one's entered into a contract to sell shares anyway, in fact, when we buy shares or sell shares from stockbrokers, they belong to us even before we've been registered as registered members. Once you've entered into a contract, in fact, that the person who it's registered in his name is actually a trustee for the purchase as a beneficial owner. So really, once you've sold the shares, then the fact that there's no true kinyan, it shouldn't be such a problem anyway. But the Mishnah also doesn't come onto this. He has a massive chiddush, which he says in the name of the Divrei Chaim. The Divrei Chaim says that the whole issa of chometz on Pesach is a teridike issa. So he says that for a teridike issa, we can rely on the mechira that work al pi Torah, and therefore we do not need to worry about the fact that the kinyan has michal b'dinehem. It's a moridika kula, and in fact, it's a massive chiddush because Mishnah Gittah have gone so far to establish that there's an issa balei balei motzei on the shares, on holding shares. Nevertheless, he's prepared to say that you can be makel based on this kula of Divrei Chaim. Moshe Sternbuch, he's very machmir in this area, and he in fact says even preference shares are a problem. So he has an interesting chat though. He says, I've got my monoshah. He says, we can register the fact that, we can recognize the fact that a company is its own corporate being and that it's a company that owns the shares, that owns the chometz, not the shareholders. But he says, let's say we're worried because we go according to the halacha, and the halacha doesn't recognize such a creation. So he says that actually halacha doesn't recognize the kinyan of shares either. He says that when somebody makes and instructs somebody subscribes to a company, however he does it, but that actual kinyan doesn't work up yalocha either. It's not halachic kinyan. So he says, no, Malashuk, if you're going according to dinehem, that the kinyan is chal, so then I don't own it anyway. And if you go to dinehnu, that I would in theory own the chometz, but then I never bought the chametz in the first place. But he says in the Maisa that he's not prepared to be making for an Issa Deraisa based on this in Manashech. So he says that one should sell shares that one owns in companies that trade in companies that trade in chametz on Pesach.